All right. Well, today I'm starting it's a standalone sermon here, but it's about the cost of living. Okay, and when we think about the cost of living, what is the cost of living? Do you guys know that it costs something to live? Right? It costs something just to survive. Okay, and in America, we kind of have it easy because the government won't really let you die, right? They will provide the basic necessities, but can I tell you a secret? That still costs somebody something, right? There's still a cost of living. Even if it's provided for you through the government, there's a cost of living. And so just to survive, it actually costs a lot. Over a 78-year period, it would cost a person an average of $1.6 million just to survive. That's just to survive. That's not getting the new iPhone. That's not getting a new car and all the luxuries of life. That's just to survive. That's just housing. That's just food and just transportation. The minimum of each of these things over a 78-year period would cost a person about $1.6 million. The cost of living is pretty high, isn't it? It costs a lot to live, just to survive. And when you think about where you live in America, when you think about different cities, how many of you guys, especially if you grew up in St. Elmo or some small community, you had this goal, this dream, this vision of moving to a big city, right, when you got older, and you start to think about that, and as you get older, you start to realize, oh man, that costs a lot more money, right? It costs a lot more money to live in New York City or L.A. than it does to live in St. Elmo. Do you know that? If you're going to take a job there making the same as you make here, you might be doing well here. You could go to that city making the same amount of money, and let me tell you, you're not going to maintain the same level of living, the same lifestyle, because it's all going to cost more. So you have to factor in the cost of living into your decisions as you get older and you decide where to go and where to work. We consider the cost of living into our plans here on earth, but do we consider the cost of living for Christ? Do we ever really consider what is the cost of living for Christ? Does living for him even have really a cost to many of us? Martin Luther said, a religion that gives nothing and costs nothing and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Church, there's a cost to following Jesus. Amen? There's a cost to it. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus gives this little story, this little parable, and he says this in verse 28. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation and he's not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Jesus shares this little story, this example. When we look at what Jesus says, I think it's important that we look at who he's speaking to. And so when he shares this right here, he's not actually sharing this with just the disciples. He's not sharing this with the Pharisees. It says that he's sharing it with the multitudes of people. He's sharing this with a lot of people, and in fact, they're people who just started following him. See, these people, they saw what Jesus had done. If you would picture the scene just before this, he had healed a man. And right after that, he told some parables. And if you haven't caught on to this, when Jesus would talk, part of the reason the masses would gather is because of just the wisdom of God that was coming out of him as he would share. Even a simple parable would blow people's minds. And so they'd seen miracles, they had heard him speak, they heard all these things, and they began to go with him, the scripture tells us. It tells us that they go with him, and his response to them, if you can imagine, Jesus is moving on and looks around and he sees just countless number of people are all like, we're going, right? We're going with you. Here we come. And he turns and he says to them, right before this scripture that we looked at, he tells them, if you're not willing to give up every earthly relationship, don't follow, right? You got to be willing to give up every earthly relationship to be my disciple. And in fact, he tells them on top of that, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And I imagine the people, right? The people that saw the healing, the people that have heard the words and the wisdom pouring out of Jesus, I imagine if you or I were there, we would be like these multitude and we're like, hey, I'll do it, Jesus, right? I'm in this. I'm with you. I am for you. I can do that, right? I can give up all of those things if I need to, and I will follow you anywhere. See, it's easy to say stuff like that in the excitement of it all, right? In the midst of the thrill, it's easy to say, yes, how many of you guys have signed up for something in the midst of excitement only to regret it later? And you're like, oh, man, if I would have thought about that, I would not have agreed to do that. Rocky's shaking his head back there because we've had some stories with Rocky. Sometimes we give the response that just first thing that comes to our mind, or sometimes it's what we think the other person wants to hear, but there's times in excitement where it's easy to say yes. Why? Because everything's good. Everything's easy. Everything's exciting, and we're moving in that direction, but Jesus knows that it won't always be this exciting. He knows that it won't always be this easy. He knows that it's not always going to be just healings and great stories. He knows that hard times are coming. If you're going to follow me, listen, it's still going to be exciting, but there's going to be hard times mixed in. There's going to be challenges ahead. There's going to be difficulty. And so that's where he comes to this point, where he says to this multitude that is choosing to follow him, he says, which of you, intending to build this tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Now, if you're intending to build, right? Me and Christy, one time we were going to build a house, and I know what this is like. If you're intending to build, this means that you're thinking about it, right? This means you're in that stage before you build. You're dreaming about it. You're planning what you would like for it to look like. You're planning what you would like to happen, what you would like to have, and you're planning, right? You're thinking. Because you're intending, you're going to sit and plan it out, okay? Intending is like premeditation. This is before you actually do the work, you start to think. You start to let the gears turn. You start to maybe make some early decisions. And he says, if you're intending to build, who would do that and not sit down? Who wouldn't sit down? When you think about the fact that you got to sit down, I think the reason Jesus throws this in here is because when you sit down, you pause, right? You kind of settle down for a minute. You don't get in a hurry making a decision about something. You don't make this huge commitment. It's sit down for a minute, right? How many of you ever had some bad news given to you and somebody's like, you're going to need to sit down for this? Why? Because you sit down, it's like, okay, pause, focus, what's getting ready to happen? And Jesus says, if you're intending to build, why wouldn't you first sit down? Why wouldn't you take this moment to pause? Don't rush into the decision. Don't just say yes. You don't even say, yes, I'm in it. I'll do it no matter the cost, but instead sit down and pause. And he says, now, once you've intended to build, once you've sat down and you've considered this, will you count the cost? Will you think about, what is this going to require of me today? What's it going to require? Now, for us, when we think about building a house, if you've never done it, if you've never gone through it, you just think finances. How much does it cost? How many dollars do I have to have? But can I tell you that there's a lot more into this? Those of you that have built a house know this. There's more than just finances involved. There's a lot of your time getting ready to be consumed in building a house, even if you're paying someone else to build it. There's a lot of mental capacity, a lot of weight that is going to be on you about making decisions involved in building this house. There's a lot of things that are going to happen throughout this process, and you've got to consider the cost. Is this even something that I can do? And if I can do it, is it even something that I'm willing to see through to the end? And ultimately, you'll come to that decision, is this something that I actually even really want to do? Now that I've considered all the costs, after I've sat down and thought about this. Guys, this is what Jesus is saying to this multitude of people. You know, current day leaders, if you have thousands of people that begin to follow you, you're just like, all right, come on. Come for the ride, right? This means more money. This means more popularity. Jesus is like, wait a minute. Before you come after me, you need to know something. You need to know that if you're going to follow me, you need to be willing to give up some things. You need to be willing to give up everything. And you need to know what this is going to cost. Don't just say, I'm in, because how many of the followers of Jesus turned around and went the other way when the road got hard? And so he says, I want you to know this up front, that you need to think about what you're doing. Multitudes of people coming to follow me. Think about what it's going to cost. See, there's a lot of people that choose to follow Jesus. They decide to follow Jesus because of the miracles, because of what he can do. They choose to follow Jesus because, listen, the words are great until they're not. They choose to follow Jesus, but they never really sit down to consider, what is this going to require of me when we get further down the road? You know how many people travel through St. Elmo? They're traveling from one place to the next place, and they stop here, and they ask for money because they don't have enough gas to get there. Listen, they're not going to Effingham. They're going to, like, Pennsylvania. And I'm like, well, didn't you consider the cost before you left Arizona, right? I mean, didn't you consider the fact that I got enough money and enough gas that I'm not going to make it there? But most often they don't. Like, well, no, I didn't. I'm like, well, that wasn't very wise, right? But we think about the fact that we get into things sometimes and we don't consider the cost, and people do this with Christianity. This is the problem that I have with the bring the masses to the altar, repeat a prayer, and manipulate them with some kind of soothing thing to get them to make a decision. I would rather you count the cost. I would rather you think about the word that is spoken, think about the gospel as it's presented, and if need be, come back next week or call tomorrow when you've thought about it and you say, you know what, I am ready to make that decision. I'll tell you that I'm unlike a lot of other pastors. When somebody comes in off the street into my office and I talk to them and I work them through some kind of problem and I present them with the gospel and they say they're ready to accept it, I tell them to call me tomorrow. I've done this to two or three people where I'm like, you know what, think about what was presented to you here and give me a call tomorrow, because I want to know after you went home, back to your life, and you've really thought about what was presented here, do you still want to do it tomorrow? Because I'll tell you what, a lot of people say yes, and then they get home and think about it, and they're like, what did I sign up for? I don't want to do that, and then they become a ghost. Then they don't ever want to talk to you again. Lots of people say yes to getting saved, and within months, they're never seen again in the church. They're back to living the same lifestyle they were living before they met Jesus. Why? Because they didn't count the cost. I'm telling you, there's a danger in not counting the cost. The danger in not counting the cost is that at some point, it all begins to start to add up. And you're thinking, man, this is not what I thought I was saying yes to. And I'm not so sure that I want to do this anymore. How many of you guys would build a house like that? Yeah, I mean, you get the foundation poured, you get the ground worked, everything's ready, and you're like, you start to look at the bank account, and you're like, nah, I'm out. I'm just going to leave it like that. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to make sure that you can do it before you start building. You're going to make sure that you've got what it takes to finish the project out. And this is what Jesus tells the people here. He's like, it's just like that. And he said, what will happen here is when people will realize at some point that they're not willing to pay the price that it costs to follow Jesus, what happens is at some point they'll just turn and walk away. Now what happens? The foundation was laid. They went and told everybody they're a follower of Jesus. They went and told everybody about how great Jesus is, and then they turn and they walk away. They go back to their lifestyle. Jesus tells them that everybody that sees that will begin to mock them and belittle them. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, he said, I am the life. A lot of times we grab a hold of the fact that he's the way. We grab a hold of the fact that he's the truth. We like to tell people those things, but he's the life, he says. He says, I am the life. If you would accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we have life in him. So what is the cost of living? What is the cost of life in Christ? Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus says, now this time to the disciples, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? He says, deny yourself and take up your cross. He says, this is what the cost is of life. This is the cost of life in Christ, is denying yourself, taking up your cross. See, the cross, when we think about the cross, it's all based on the cross, because the cross itself, when we look at it, what do we see? We see salvation. Amen? Praise God. What an amazing symbol to remember salvation. But see, to the disciples, you got to imagine that they see a different story. Salvation had not come through the cross yet. And as Jesus tells them, listen, guys, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross. I imagine those guys were like, this sounds awful. I mean, these guys right here are counting the cost. I can promise you that. Because see, to them, the cross was not a symbol of salvation. It was a symbol of execution. To them, the cross was a symbol of someone losing their life. And they thought, do I really want to do this? Am I really willing to carry a cross? Am I really willing to pay that price to follow Jesus? Church, this is the cost of living. It's giving your life. It's giving your life. It's losing your life. But here's the beauty of it, is that in Christ we gain life back again. So see, here's the thing. It's one thing to know that Jesus is the Christ. It's one thing to know that he is the Son of God, but it's an entirely different thing to say, I will follow him. And it's another thing yet to say, I will identify with him in this intimate way of giving my life for him. I wonder how many Christians there are whose family and friends would have no idea that they are Christians, besides the fact that they know that they go to church on Sunday. I wonder how many. How many do you guys think it is? What kind of percentage do you think it is that people would have no idea that you're a Christian, other than the fact that they know that they go to church on Sunday? Do they identify with Jesus? Do Christians identify him with him? Do the people recognize that you are with him? What is it in our life that shows that I'm with him, right? I'm with Jesus. When you think about people who go through chemo, right? People go through chemotherapy, a lot of times they lose their hair. And what we see a lot of times is if they're a part of some kind of group or organization of people, you know, maybe it's a youth group, or maybe it's classmates, maybe it's coworkers, maybe it's their church, whoever. What we see is sometimes that other people will all shave their head in support of that person, right? You ever seen one of those stories before? They're like, you know what, we'll shave our head in support of you. But what does that do? That also shows that you identify with that person. I'm with them, right? That's what I'm doing this for. Not look at me, but it's so that you know that I'm with them. I support them. I am for them. I identify with them. And in what ways in our life do we show people that we identify with Jesus, right? We need to do something that says to the world that, see, Jesus, yeah, you know him, you've heard of him, you know about him, see him, I am with him. I am a part of his body. How do we do that? Jesus tells us that you've got to deny yourself. Now, here's the thing that people miss with denying self. A lot of times we take this just to simply be a sin issue. No, Tim, you can't do that. No, Tim, you can't have that. No, Tim, you shouldn't think like that. Can I tell you that Jesus is not talking about sin right here? Not directly. He's not saying deny yourself of things. That's not the point that he's getting at. He says deny yourself. Now, this is much deeper than just a sin issue. Jesus is headed to the cross. And he tells Peter, right? He tells Peter, you guys will know this, that he says, you'll deny me how many times? Three times before the rooster crows, right? And Peter's like, no, I won't. You are crazy. That I would never do that. But Peter goes into this time. Jesus gets taken by the soldiers. And I want to pick up here in Luke chapter 22 and show you what happens to Peter. It says in verse 54, having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter, look at what he did, he followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, and the people sat down together, Peter sat among them. Okay, right now Peter's done nothing wrong. He's following Jesus at a distance. He's sitting down with the other people at the fire. And it says that a certain girl, in verse 56, a certain servant girl, seeing Peter as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him, with Jesus. But Peter denied Jesus, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, hey, you also are one of them, right? You're of them too. And Peter again, he says, man, I am not. And then about an hour passed and another confidently affirmed. Listen, these people are positive they know who Peter is. He confidently affirmed. He's like, no, listen, man, surely this is him. Surely this is the fellow, right? This is the one, right? He was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said to him, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. There's three things that happen here. Peter said, I don't know him. Right? I straight up don't know Jesus. He didn't say, I'm not with him. He said, I don't even know the guy. I don't know why you're looking at me like that, because I don't know him. And then he says, I'm not one of them. Right now, I don't know him. I'm also not a part of his party, a part of his group. And then the third time, it's like, no comprendo, right? It's like, I don't even understand what you're saying now. I don't know. I don't understand. This, church, is how you deny someone. This right here is how you deny someone. You choose not to have acquaintance with them anymore, right? I'm not with him. I don't identify with him. I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. No, not me. But then this Greek word for deny, it has a secondary meaning when it's applied to yourself, it goes a little bit deeper. It says to forget one's self, but also to lose sight of one's interests. You lose sight of yourself, but you lose sight of your interests. So when you deny yourself, you act in the way that Peter did toward Jesus. But instead of directing it at him, you're directing it at you. Tim? What? I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about, who you're referring to, this Tim. I'm not him, right? I don't even know what you are saying. I'm not with him, right? I now identify with Jesus. See, Jesus Christ made me new, and I'm not who I once was. I'm no longer Tim, but I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all have become new. I deny myself because, listen, I have a new identity. Many people in this room and in this community knew me before Christ. Listen, I can promise you I'm not a poser that's up here just pretending to be different, but I am truly not who I once was. I'm not that guy anymore. This isn't just a show. I'm not just some kind of good actor, but no, I don't know him. I don't know this man, this boy that you speak of that I used to be, because he's dead, right? The old me has passed away is what the Word of God tells me. It tells us in Romans chapter 6 that when you're buried with Christ, when you are baptized, you are buried and you assimilate with him in death, that you are no longer who you once were. You are raised to life in Christ. And this is what Jesus is telling us, church, that I'm now child of God. I'm now a saint. I am chosen. I am a Jesus follower. I love the Lord. I've given up my rights because Jesus is not just my Savior, but he is my Lord. He's my master. I obey him. He is in control. This means I have to lose sight of my own interests. I have to lose sight of living my own plan, and I have to live for his, for the kingdom of God. Amen? It's like going into the witness protection program. Anybody ever watched a movie where somebody has to be removed from their life and put in witness protection? There used to be a point in my life where I kind of thought that would be cool. Like, you just get to start over. Like, I'm going to live here, and I want to do this for a living, and everything's provided for you, and you just kind of hang out. You just have a good time. I used to think that that would kind of be cool. I don't like that now because, like, I realize that, you know, maybe Christy would get to go with me, but the rest of you guys I'd probably never see again. That'd make me sad. But you think about when somebody goes into the witness protection program, there's some things that happen. Right, they get a new identity. They're like, you're not who you were before. Like, they drill it through your head, right? You're no longer Tim, now you're Ted, whatever. Maybe they give you a little further name away, but you're not who you were. You got a new identity. You have a new plan in life. There's new things that you're going to do. You have new responsibilities, and you have to let the old go away. You have to let it leave. You have to forget about it. There's no going back, because if you go back, guess what? You die. You go back, you're dead. The people that are looking for you will kill you. Your life will be over. Listen, church, this is the cost of living. When you go to follow Jesus, you have a new name, you have new responsibilities, you have a new mission, a new cause, a new life, and there's no going back. Because if you go back, you're going back to death. And the cost of living is following Jesus Christ in new life. Amen? The cost of living, can I tell you right now, it's actually greater than the cost of dying. That's why fewer people choose it. It actually costs more of you to choose Christ than it does to choose yourself. Because it requires a conscious decision day after day after day to deny self. It's harder work than just doing what you want. And that's why so few people stick with it and say yes and identify with Jesus. It requires you every single day to go into the throne room of your life and take yourself off the throne and say, Holy Spirit, you get on. Every day, you have to make that choice. You have to make that decision. And here's the deal. When the devil says to us, Why worry about God's plans, right? Just take care of yourself. Just do what you want. Live your best life. Do what is good for you. We need to say, wait a minute. Self? Who is self, right? I don't know him. He doesn't exist anymore. I don't know who you're talking about because I live for Jesus. We have to take up our cross and follow him. He says, take up your cross. If you want to be one of his, he says, this is what is required of you. You know, when you go to build a house, there's like hidden costs. They're not necessarily hidden. They're just things that you probably didn't think of that are going to be needed. You might think, I got a piece of land and it costs this much, the builder said, to build my house. But did you think about how much it's going to cost to make a driveway? Did you think about how much it's going to cost to run electric from the street back to your house? Plumbing from the street back to your house? There's all these additional things, what it's going to cost. And a lot of times people get tricked and fooled by it and they end up spending way more than what they want. Jesus tells us right up front, it's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost your life. This is what's required of you. There's no tricks, no hidden causes. It's going to be everything that you have. And I know for some of you are probably thinking, but you don't work for salvation. That's true, because you are saved how? By grace through faith, not of works, so that you can't boast. It's nothing that you did, nothing you can do. It takes faith. But can I tell you this morning that when you take up your cross, this is the faith in action. This is the faith when it's actually working, when it's doing something, when we take up our cross. Can I tell you this morning that when you take up the cross is heavy. It is heavy. There's a lot of things that we try to claim as like, this is my cross, that's not your cross. Listen, having a hyperactive two-year-old is not your cross. It stinks. It's a lot of work. That's not your cross. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Having a car that's so old and beat up and rusty that you got to have a tetanus shot to drive it, listen, that's not your cross. Like, that's not it. It does stink. It would be nice if you had something better, but that's not your cross. Having bad seasonal allergies, it's not your cross. I mean, it seems like it, but it's really, truly not. Having a nagging spouse or a crummy job or too big a mortgage on your house, listen, these things are not your cross. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about identifying with him to the fullest extent. Being willing to give up our life. Being willing to give it all up just the way that he did. You know how good Jesus is that he doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. And he's like, I already did it. I already gave up my life so that you could have new life. He carried his own cross. And when you think back through that story and you picture Jesus carrying this cross, whatever, if you want to picture the whole cross or just the cross beam, it was much, much bigger than what we have over here, much heavier. He'd been beaten and whipped and beard ripped out. He had all this physical abuse where he was already not even, sometimes we lose sight of this, that he was not recognizable as a man, is what the scripture tells us. This is how bad of a physical shape that Jesus was in, and he's carrying this cross. And listen, his physical body became too weak to carry it. And there's this man named Simon. Simon helps Jesus carry this cross the rest of the way. When we think about this example right here, I was picturing this morning as I was praying over the message, and this is a physical example, right? Jesus is too tired to carry that load. It's too heavy, and he's too tired as a physical picture of what the Holy Spirit does for us spiritually. See, we pick up the cross. We say, I'm going to carry the cross. I'm going to lay down my life. That's hard, isn't it? Is it hard to lay down your life? Is it hard to live for Jesus when you have your own wants and desires and plans and purposes that you think would be really great to do? Isn't that hard to choose him over what you want sometimes? But it says that the Holy Spirit is our helper, right? If you're willing to take up your cross, if you're willing to give up your life, if you're willing to identify with Jesus, there will be times where it's too heavy. There will be times where it seems too much to bear. There will be times where you can't just continue on your own. But listen, trust me, the Holy Spirit will help you carry that load. The Holy Spirit will help you carry the load. And when you think about the cost of living keeps going up, right? Go try to buy something now that you could have bought a year or two ago and look at the difference. It keeps going up. It keeps requiring more and more and more. And if people don't make more, but the cost is more, it gets harder and harder to keep up, right? If the things cost more, but you have the same, it's hard, it's difficult. But a good employer gives you a cost of living raise, right? They figure, well, everything's gone up by this percent, we'll give our employees this much. That's just to keep even. That's just to stay the same, because if you don't get that, you're actually losing. You're actually going backwards. But listen, spiritually, I want to tell you that in the same way, it requires more and more and more of you each day. You guys realize that? It requires more of you each day to follow Jesus. The path gets harder. The decisions get more difficult. It seems like the pressures of society get greater and greater, don't they? It requires more of you. But the good news is that the more you deny yourself, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to be able to work within you. The more you deny yourself, the more you allow the Holy Spirit the ability to work within you. Do you realize that you have to give God permission to work within you? You have to invite him to work within you. And the more he works in your life, listen, the more and more you tap into the blessings that God has for your life. Listen, he says that we have every spiritual blessing. Say every spiritual blessing. I think that's important for us to remember when the spiritual load gets heavy, is to remember that if I can say no to me, if I can say I don't know that person I used to be, but I'm not who I once was, I'm new in Christ, he's my master, I submit to him, Lord, what do you want? If I can say that, church, I believe that I have more than enough to follow Jesus. I have more than enough because I have every spiritual blessing. Church, if I identify with Jesus, if I have given up my life for him, if I let him rule on the throne of my heart every day, every situation, every moment, no matter what, church, listen, that is the cost of living. But can I tell you that the cost of living, it's worth the reward in the end. It's not just about living for him here and now today, but it's eternity with Jesus in heaven. Amen? Who has desire of that this morning? If you would stand to your feet as we close. Listen, the cost of living comes down to this. It's about not being ashamed of who Jesus is, but it's also about not being ashamed of who you are in Christ. It's about saying that, Lord, yes, I will do what you want to do, but I want to tell you this morning that maybe many of you have already made this decision. If you haven't made the decision to follow Jesus, don't make it without sitting down and counting the cost. I'm not just telling you that for my benefit, for your benefit. I'm telling you because it's what Jesus said. He's like, don't just follow me just because everybody else is doing it, just because it seems good right now, but there's going to be times and moments where it's hard. And if you aren't fully committed and fully in it, you're gonna leave. You're gonna take off the other way when things get hard. But if you've counted the cost and you say that I'm in and you say that I'll follow you, then you've got to be willing to give up everything. But what about the stuff you've worked so hard for? What about all the goals and ambitions you've had since you were a child? Listen, I want to tell you that if you honor God and love God and follow God, a lot of those things are going to work into the picture. A lot of those things are going to work into the picture. But listen, you've got to be willing to give it all up. There's a difference between giving it all up and just being willing to. But I'll tell you what, if you're not willing to, and you say, I'll follow you, you're probably going to see things start to just disappear. Right? He's going to say, I'm going to test you on that. I'm going to find out if you're actually willing to do what you said you were going to do, or if it's all lip service, if you're the multitudes that are going to turn and go when things get hard. So this morning, as we close and we open up the altar, I just want to give that opportunity this morning. If there's anyone who says, you know what, for the first time in my life, I'm choosing to truly follow Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. It doesn't matter how old you are. A friend of mine had like an 85-year-old man who's been in church his whole life give his life to Jesus last year. Whole life he's been in church. And he came to this revelation that he wasn't actually a follower of Jesus. He was just a churchgoer. And there's no shame in that, because as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. And we rejoice here as well. And so if that's you, here in a moment, we're going to give opportunity for that. If you're a follower of Jesus, I just want to give you that encouragement to continually evaluate your life. Continually evaluate, Lord, okay, who's actually Lord of my life? Is it me? Or am I truly giving way to you and your plan and your desire for my life to do what you have asked me to do? And so, Father, this morning, we praise you for your word. God, we praise you that the cost of living is great. It's a steep price. But Jesus, we thank you that you paid an even greater price to make it all possible. Lord, that if we choose to follow you, your word tells us that we were bought at a price. That we were bought at a price. We're no longer our own. So how could we be in charge of our own life? Lord, I pray for every person in this place that today we would truly receive you as Lord. There's so often we want the Savior aspect, but then we want to live life however we want to live it. Jesus, today we declare that you are Lord, that you are God, that you are our Master, that you are the one we serve. Let this not just be words that we speak, but let it take root in our hearts this morning. Jesus, we surrender to you. And as we enter back into this time of worship, Lord, we're going to surrender to you. We're going to say, it's not my will, but your will be done. It's not my life, but it's your life living through me. Just what we sang earlier, to live is Christ. Right? Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But while I'm here, it's not, living's not me. Pray that today that the flesh would be crucified with Christ. Lord, we love you in this place. We thank you for your presence, and we ask right now that you would speak to our hearts, that nothing would be done just out of raw emotion or a quick decision, but Lord, that we would truly hear your voice this morning. Let us hear your voice and your call for whatever it is that we're in need of this morning. We trust you, and we thank you for it. Holy Spirit, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.